got it all in my boogie book.
Yeah.
My boogie book.
It's right there.
I got it all in my boogie book.
Bookkeeper.
24/7. I got it all in my boogie book.
We in our bag now.
All in my
boogie book. Yo. Hey. Yo. Yo.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hello.
24/7, Lord, hit him with the glow.
Bling.
New podcast, and we do it for your soul. Bookkeeper 24, we do it for the bros. True fellowship with the saints, boy, you know.
You
now
know.
I keep the book, but I used to keep the foe. Hit it in my heart, and I put it on my phone.
Okay.
Sincere milk, now it's time for you to grow.
Bro.
And hear the good news, for it's time for you to go.
Powered by the Bookkeeper 247.com. Welcome back to Behind the Mic Podcast with my husband and your host, Daryl Kemp. Thank you for joining us, including our new listeners. On this podcast, we interview artists that we feel should be on everyone's radar and discuss not just music, but other topics throughout our culture. On the 9th episode of Season 2, Behind the Mic, Daryl continues his conversation with upcoming Christian hip-hop artist Prodigal. They discuss the growth of Prodigal between his first project to now, musically as well as spiritually. They discuss how to handle trolls and how platforms such as ours can help indie artists succeed. Sounds like a win-win situation to me. Also, find out how on-beat music from Rapzilla's Critique Friday inspired a dual project from Prodigal and Zay Hill. Don't forget, if you really want to help us grow, smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, and hit the alert button to be notified for the most in-depth show in hip-hop, Behind the Mic, with my hubby and your host, Daryl Kemp. Let's go! Let's go! Let's go!
Yes, sir. You already know what's going on, man. Say, man, shine on me, the soul of the city. I'm locked in to the Bookkeeper 24/7. We in there. It's up there and it's stuck there. You hear me?
All right, welcome back to the Ride family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with my friend, man, my partner, Prodigal. And we just came off the segue, man, where we were talking about the impact of Christian hip-hop, right? And that there alone, space that Christian hip-hop is in, is very impactful, right? And it changed my life, Prodigal. You heard my testimony in the listening session. You know, shout out to Q-Flow too, man. Reason I'm in that chat, because he was on the podcast, last podcast, and he put me on. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
And I love, because, see, what I love about the listening session is this, as a whole, and I'm getting off topic a little bit, what I was just about to go into, but it's a perception of the young man, right, in the world, and how they're not hearing God, right? Or they're not following God, or this and that, and this and that. But we know, as we were talking earlier, it's always going to be a group that's set apart, a remnant. And I feel like that what you all have is like a remnant for this space, right? Y'all have hard discussions. You all have engineering discussions. Y'all critique music. Y'all critique each other. Man, and I feel like that is a heck of a space for artists, and not just in artistry, but man, y'all put up the sword, y'all throw up scripture, y'all get back to the Bible, to the principle. You know, how has the listening session impact your life since you've been in?
Man, and we were kind of talking about this before the show, but like, man. Okay, so in the last Bookkeeper interview, and I was talking about this, but the last Bookkeeper interview with Mr. L, like, I was saying that, like, yeah, I know that there's a community out there, but I don't feel really connected to anyone, you know? But then when Q Flow, man, shout out, big shout out to him, man. That's the brother for life, for real. Like, that's honest, straight, like, just great dude. man, he put together the idea of the group, and you know, he had invited me to it. And well, actually, no, he put the tweet out. I reached out to him. I was like, hey, yo, man, like, add me to the group chat. I didn't even know him at that point. That's why, you know, so he did, there's no way he could reach out to me personally. But I was just following him on Twitter. I saw the tweet. I'm like, yo, bro, I want to be part of this group chat. He said, I bet. Put me in the group chat. And really, what came from that is just this beautiful brotherhood, man. Like, it's these guys that really, like, they're just so rooted in their faith that give me inspiration to keep going. And like, I think for like the past month or so, like me personally, I've been in a creative funk, but like slowly been getting out of it through prayer and through discernment and different things. But honestly, like, these guys really keep you grounded, really keep you grounded. And it's like the impact of like, just first of all, on a business level, right? Like networking and like connecting with everyone. I think for me, like, I just felt so alone in the CHH space that, you know, I just felt like, you know, I'm gonna burn out. But when I connected with these dudes, I'm like, bro, I know people now, you know, and I can talk to them like one-on-one or in the group chat, but I feel like so connected with these dudes. And then on like spiritual level, like, again, like you said, going back to scriptures or having these hard conversations, you know, about where we stand as a community and where we are as men, you know. And I think it's great. I'm so glad that Qflow really put together the group, and the people that we add to it just really add something to the group. That adds character to it, and just really it's building up to be something special. And I'm really glad to be a part of it. You know, I was saying before, it was it's a prayer answered for me. You know, I was telling the Lord, I'm like, I don't feel like I belong in the space.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. I don't feel like I can talk to anyone about anything that's going on in the space, about, you know, what I'm going through musically, creatively. I feel like I can't really open up, but God was like, here you go. Hey, here's a group of brothers that you can always rely on now. And I'm like, I love it. This is perfect. You know, and these are also like affirmations that I'm on the right trajectory of my mission. And you know, that's just, shout out to Qflow, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, shout out to Qflow, man. I know, since I've been in it probably about a month now, right? See, I know the gap with our platform. I know you got, and this is no disrespect or diss to nobody, right? But I know you got people in our space, whether they Christian hip hop or artists that's Christian, whatever it is, they repping, right? That you got the Lecraes, the Andys, the KBs, right? The Dared Miners, the Bizzles, you know, you got all them, right? And then you got, then it's a big, huge gap, right? And then you got the up and coming artists, right? But being in there with you all, what I love, I get to hear the raw mix, and I get to hear when y'all tune it up, right? And I really do believe it's a lot of talent that should be at that next level. Now, you may not never get there because you don't know what God's plan is, right? But I can hear the talent in the group, right? And it's got to be inspiring too, just like you said, to be able to network and fellowship with some of your peers that's at the same level that you all are at. So the so my thing is, how do you bridge the gap between you made it and you're starting to make it?
Man, I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's like one indicator of that. You know, I feel like kind of like what you said, you don't know what God is really calling you to do. You know, you see guys like Lecrae and Andy and all those dudes, right, who have really like went on to make successful careers out of it. And you see that the hand of the Lord is on them, and you know, the way that their lives have been moving and the way that their careers have just shot up, right? But there's also like, in terms of success in the CHH, right, like it's very, very, very different. Like, you can always reach for that Lecrae level, but God might be calling you to just be on a community level, and to have that humility to be like, okay, like, I don't, and it's not saying that like, oh, community level is not as good. Obviously, like, you know, in some things like monetarily and different things like that. Yeah, I mean, community level won't pay as much and different things, right? But having that humility to step out of your own ego and be like, if this is where the Lord wants me, I'm gonna be here, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, bridging that gap between those guys, I honestly wouldn't even say up there, down here. I don't like to make that comparison because I'm just like, I feel like if we are part of CHH, we're all in this together, right? Amen. Like we're all, our only upward trajectory is heaven.
Amen.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so like we are all equal in this, right? Mm. And I think as a community, I think we were all accountable to each other. I think I'm accountable to Scribe, as Scribe might be accountable to Qflow, but Qflow can be accountable to one day Lecrae, right? Yeah. Like we, as a community, we're all accountable to and for each other. And yeah. we all move up to heaven, which is our real success, which is our real end goal. And so I just feel like, you know, for the up and coming guys, you know, on a purely business level, like I feel like marketing and everything has to be like tuned up, and you know, me included, right? Like I know I need to be better in marketing. I know I need to be better. But there's also a point where we're like, all right, Lord, like where are you leading me? Like, is this something that I have to, are these steps that need to be taken for me to go to that rising star level? Or would it be like, hey, I need to be in my community. I need to take care of these sheep right here so that they can hear your voice better, you know? And I think, and that's what I'm saying, that CHH is just so different because again, success or all those things, it's just so different in our field. And it's not about what the world sees as success. It's about, are we all getting to heaven, you know? So yeah, and I think in terms of reaching and impacting, again, you don't know who's listening to you, man. You know, mm-hmm. like you were saying, like you might just get one stream, but that one stream might be going to like 20 other people listening at the same time.
That's right.
You know, and so mm-hmm. yeah, just putting all that together, I feel like as a community, like our trajectory is, our end goal is heaven, and that's the only way that I see it. No matter how many times that we like to say, hey, like, you know, there's levels to this. Like, I feel like, again, we are one community and we need to be accountable to and for each other. So,
amen. Because, yeah, man, I'm glad you clarified and corrected me on my thought of that, right? Because while you was talking, I thought about, like, our platform. I don't even really look at numbers, to be honest. I don't know how to read all the numbers. We got a CDN server and they bring in numbers. Google bring in numbers. I don't know how to read all that stuff. But my thought process was, and you're on the music side, so we're the platform. And if we're never Rapzilla, who cares? Mm-hmm. We could be a bridge for somebody to get to Rapzilla though, right? Mm-hmm. But just what you said, it corrected me and it hit me in my heart, really, that we shouldn't even be thinking of being a bridge to Rapzilla or Trackstars or none of them. Not knocking nothing what they do. We ought to be a bridge for people to get to Jesus Christ. Yeah.
That's the goal. That's the goal. And like, and here's the thing, right? Like, and there's nothing wrong with dreaming, right? There's nothing wrong with having these goals of being the bridge to, or even being on the same level of a reach as Rapzilla or Trackstars. Mm. Right. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm saying, what is your role in discerning God's will for your mission? Mm-hmm. Are you doing the right thing in terms of listening to what God has to say to you?
Absolutely. Right.
Because and I've been going through a lot of discernment personally, and it's been an uphill battle. Right. Mm-hmm. To realize, OK, like, because again, last month, this whole month has been a creative funk because I'm like, Lord, I don't know what you want me to do. Mm-hmm. Like, is it? But like little affirmations come into play. So when you see things like, when you dream of things like, hey, I want to have the reach of Rapzilla or Trackstars or even something bigger, like that's not a bad thing. That's a desire that probably God put in your heart. But you also got to understand that, like listening to God and being like, hey, like I need to be humble, or God really does want you to go for it and really just be like, hey, push, you know, keep pushing, I'm gonna open the doors, but you need to put the effort in, right? Like, we can't always just be like, we only like put half our effort into something that God has called us to do, and we're like, oh, we're meant for the community level. Mm-hmm. You don't know that. That's, you know, right. What I'm saying? Like, if you're putting only half your effort when God is expecting your 100% in a mission that he calls you to do, and then you go ahead and blame it on God, saying that, oh, he doesn't want me to move up, like, that's not fair either, right? Okay. So we got to understand to discern God's call in our lives for whatever our mission is, and personally, and understand that whatever it is that we're doing, while you're discerning, do 100% of it. Keep going with it. And then you will see naturally doors opening or doors closing. And then you'll be able to filter it out. Okay, like, this is where I need to be. So like, when I was going through this creative funk, it was more like I'm not giving 100% of writing or trying to come up with ideas or praying about my ideas of what I want to write. And I realized that, and that's how I got out of my creative funk. I'm like, Lord, okay, I am in this funk. I need your help in getting out to give that 100% to you. And that was what my prayer changed to. I was like, I need help writing. You know what I'm saying? And I need help giving that 100% to God. And so at the end of the day, like, realize what God's call is for you in your life and in your mission, and then put 100% to it and see where God takes it.
Amen. Yes, sir. All right, we'll be back after these messages.
Yo, 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 it's your boy YJO with Enoch Flow Records, letting you know if you need beats, engineering, graphic design, website creation, Enoch Flow is the way to go. I'm gonna tell you why. Beats and engineering. All beats are produced by yours truly, exclusively, with no leases. And I'll even throw engineering in there for you. Graphic design and website creation. Bring your next single, EP, or album artwork to life with DC Graphics, led by Damian Clinton, best graphic designer in the business. That's no cap. Get all these services and more only at Enoch Flow Records. Peace.
If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First of all, it's free. Yes, I said it, free. Secondly, there's creation tools that will allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer when the inspiration hits you to record. Thirdly, Anchor will distribute your podcast, meaning it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Talk about a time saver. And last but not least, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. So there you have it. Everything you need to make a podcast all in one. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Can't wait to hear what you create with Anchor.
Welcome back to the Ride, family. But we're sitting down, chopping it up with Prodigal. How do you feel your growth was between identity and holy water? As an artist, a person, a Christian, the journey?
Identity was really that time of like trying to see what this could be. Trying to really figure out my identity in CHH or what I'm trying to do with my life. I was slowly getting back into my faith and learning about Christ and really writing down about all the struggles that I was going through. Whether that be like, I feel like my real name is Daniel. And so like feeling like I'm stuck in a lion's den, right? Like all these temptations around me and try to bite me and eat me up. But, or all these insults that were hurled at me from past experiences or past wounds that kept coming up. And that song Lion's Den came up. Or there's a song called Incognito Mode where it was a fight with pornography and masturbation and, you know, like my struggles with that.
Oh, yeah.
So kind of figuring out what my identity is with all these wounds, what my identity is in Christ. But as I moved on to Wonderland, and even sonically, identity is completely different from what I sound like right now, I feel. Or like a major shift. Because I, with identity, I was trying to go for the more rap, you know, straight up rap thing. And I felt like when I moved on to Wonderland, or well, really my first Tupac single was called Blacklisted. And I felt like I needed to mix both melody and rapping. Mainly because I felt like the strength really came for melody for me, because I was a guitar player. I was a multi, like I had violin experience, I had guitar experience, I sang in the choir, different things. So like melody was really strong in my head, but that wasn't something that was really utilizing an identity. And so Wonderland and the projects after that, I really just leaned into the melodic side of things, Ben, and realized that I could say a lot through the melodies and through the words that I was using. You know, I don't have to go try to go the fast rapping route like some of these cats like Q-Flow and Mr. L can do, which is insane, you know? Or Alcott. Alcott's a beast too. But like, so sonically, major shift. Thematically, in these projects, you know, identity went from, you know, finding my identity in Christ to Wonderland was more about really rejoicing in the fact that I did find Christ. You know, going through the features and, you know, with Victory with Mitch Durrell and Dirt with J. Crumb, kind of like reflecting on the journeys of my life, basically, like how I found my victory in the battles that I fought, but with Christ's help, like I gained the victory. And in Dirt, like kind of like a retrospective look into like, you know, what all the crap that I've been through. But then with Holy Water 1 and 2 was really, you know, A, collaborating with Zay was great, you know. He's a dope artist to work with. Crazy with the melodies, crazy with the hooks. Verses are great too. And, you know, just a talented artist. And so being able to work with not just one, but two EPs with him was really, which he really doesn't do a lot of. He doesn't do part twos too much. And but being able to work with him, and we got another song coming out. This is an exclusive. We got another song coming out. And so, you know, which is dope. We're working on it right now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and dealing with themes of rebirth and being completely drenched in that holy water of like, you know, of renewal. Really, that was kind of something that was going on while I was writing and, you know, reflecting on what direction this project needed to go in. And so, yeah, I mean, as a person, just these songs are really just snapshots of what I'm going through at that moment. Mm-hmm. Sonically, again, shift, just trying to find my voice as an artist. I feel like I've kind of gotten in a pocket of it, but, you know, trying to find my voice, and you can see the kind of shift that happens in these first few projects. And so, yeah, I think the journey has been great as an artist, you know, just experimenting, connecting with people, and just really just trying to see again where God is taking me. I think it's been really a blessing. And I really started off with just this kind of a dream of like, hey, maybe I should try CHH, you know, should try it, because again, I'm going to be speaking truth in my songs, and if my truth is Christ, then I'm going to be talking about Christ. So that's what my journey into CHH began. But you know, with the networking and all these things, really, I feel like I'm just starting to come into form as a CHH artist, even though I've been doing this since wow, 2019. You know, and I've just been doing that since 2019. But right now, I feel like I'm coming into form as a CHH artist. So, yeah.
Me as a fan listening, you know, I could hear from Identity to Holy Water Volume 2, the last song, I could hear rhyme pattern getting better, production getting better, all that. So I could hear the growth, right? You know, which is amazing to me since it's been since 2019 to where we're at now. Where did the idea of collaborating with Zay Hill on the project come from?
So there was a song from Wonderland called Out of Pocket. And I had submitted it to Critique Fridays. Shout out to Obi and Rapzilla. But I submitted to Critique Fridays. And Obi gave it an 8 or 7, something like that. Yeah. And ironically, though, that's like one of my popping songs in my community, mainly because there's a line in my language and people like really resonated with it. And so it's like one of my top songs. And so, but anyway, out of pocket, you know, he was like, hey, why don't you have Zay on the hook? Now, that was too late because Out of Pocket was about, or Wonderland was about to come out in like the next week. So I was like, can't do that. And then, but I was like, you know what? I might hit up Zay. Because like, I heard, around the time I heard his song, The Edge. And so I really liked his sound. I thought it was really unique. And so I was like, hey, Zay, bro, like, you know, Obi kind of suggested to, you know, see if we can link up on a song together or something like that. And he was like, hey, bet, I'm like willing to work. And Zay works with a lot of people. And so I was like, bet, cool. And so I sent him Wonderland. I was like, hey, this is my latest project. Check it out. This is what I sound like. He was like, so the plan was to do a single. He was like, cool, we'll check it out. Hits me back about a few hours later. And he was like, I listened to the Wonderland EP. This is great. Let's do an EP together. I'm like, bet, let's do it. So I, you know, we did the EP and volume one was almost done, and then he hit me up again. He was just like, bro, I feel like this is gonna be a hit. Like, let's do volume two. I'm like, even better. So just decided to collaborate, and we got volume two done. We put Godfearin and Robbie on volume two. And that was a wrap as well. So working with Zay was like really easy. He has great ideas. And just, yeah, just getting the chance to work with him was just great. So shout out to Obi for suggesting Zay as a good partner. And so yeah man
this is more like for the indie artist question, or somebody just starting out right in this space, like a three-part, right? So a project, double EP with Zay, Holy Water, what goes into that as an artist? First part is time. What type of time goes into a project like that?
I mean, a lot. that's what I can summarize it to. A lot of time. I mean, you know, with collaborating with Zay, like, he had ideas for hooks. And so with volume one, a lot of the hooks were his. Actually, all the hooks were his. And so I really just had to kind of focus on the verses. And but we would have like an idea to go off of, like, what do we want to talk about in this song? And so the time of communicating, really, this, I think I started in, we started in July or August, and the project, like, we were done recording volume one in October. And then it came out in December. So it took maybe what, August? So did I say July? Right? Yeah, I think we started in July. July, October. You know, that was the amount of time that it took to record four songs and get it done, engineered, and everything like that. You know, down from starting from the conception of the idea to final mixes. And so there, so that's quite of a bit of a time, because again, we didn't touch volume two. Volume two started around that November time, and then we finished it by December, because I think we had like a good chemistry. And just like a good idea of working together, and he let me have control of the hooks on volume two. So songs like Spaceship and Holy Water was mine, and then, you know, Zay did the hook on Back Down, and Robbie did the hook on All God. So, you know, there's a lot of communication when it comes to it. You know, collaborating is not easy. It has to boil down to communication and what you want each song to talk about. So.
Yeah. So what, you know, I always say, if you can't afford nothing but a single, make a good single, right?
Singles rule the game. Singles rule the game right now. Yeah.
So what type of, I mean, it ain't got to be no exact number, but cost wise to put an EP together, it don't even have to be like Zay Hill features or nothing. I'm just saying, to put a good EP together, what would an artist be looking at cost wise?
Yeah, man, it really depends. For me, you know, when I started out, like I was paying $150 for a mix plus $150 for a beat. And I, at the time I was leasing. So right there's like $300 for one song. Right. So if I wanted to like market it, that'll be another $50 to $75 for ads. Right. So you're looking at $350, $375 for one song. Now it's more of like I'm buying the beats for cheap for the same price, but it's exclusive because I've been able to link up with so many CHH producers. And that's the thing, like I'm giving tips to different people, is that you know, try to link with as many CHH producers as possible, because these guys will give you exclusives. They're great beats, they're great guys, they're great producers that will give you beats for the same price that you're probably leasing them for, you know. And but they're exclusive, you own the beat. And so so yeah, you're looking at, and now I'm working with an engineer that also engineers Mr. L, Connor Alstrom, and he has great prices. Yeah, so I'm probably spending about $300 to $375 for a song. So multiply that by four. Well, how much is that? 375 times four is 1500 for an EP. For an EP, you know. And it's money, right? It is. It, you do need some sort of financial backing, or hopefully working a job. I work as an accountant. I went to school for it. But you know, I think financially, like I feel like, you know, there are people who can help you out with prices and stuff like that. But just gotta, you know, see how much money you're willing to invest in it. You know, if you are serious about it, you know, if you're not really serious, if you're just doing hip hop for just a passion, as a passion project or whatever, and or you're just seeing it as, oh, like I just want to try it out. I would say, you know, you don't have to buy a beat outright. You know, you can do like a basic MP3 lease and get a beat for $25 or $50, and then try to do the mixing yourself, and you know, maybe cut down the price on that. But for me, in the beginning, I was like, quality is everything, and you know, I know that I wasn't gonna like put the time in to learn mixing just yet. I do eventually want to do that, but right now I want to focus on creating the songs. I want to focus on executing the songs as well as possible, and put money into marketing and different things like that. And so I, you know, let other people do cover. Oh, and cover art. That's something that I totally forgot about. So, you know, cover art, you can find people for $75 to $100. So add another $75 to $100 to that, $375. So there's a lot of stuff that you need to consider when you're releasing an EP and a song. But again, like if you are in a position to financially support it, then go for it. But if not, save up. You know, God doesn't want you to just, you know, throw your money at something and hope it sticks, and just, you know, like, and if you're not going to pursue it, you know, that's just a waste of time and resources. So again, if an artist really wants to invest time and money in it, then they have to be serious to a certain degree.
Amen. Now, I was going to ask you about the preparation, but I would ask this now. As an indie artist, how important is it to outsource different things like mixing and et cetera?
No, I mean, look, if you're willing to put the time in to learn, I feel like you'll be all the better for it. Now, me personally, you know, I just looking at my schedule and the time that I have to dedicate to a full-time job plus doing this, you know, I feel like I just don't, and I'm also very active in my church, and I'm like, you know, me personally, I just haven't had the time to sit down and learn a new thing. So for my mind, it's like, I know there are people who can do it way better than me. And they're doing it at a price that I can afford and that they deserve. And they're willing to put in the love and care as I would too. Then I would outsource it. So like the first album for Identity, my engineer, his name is Chef Dillo. Shout out to Chef Dillo. He's dope. He's Indian. He's Mallu. And I was instantly became connected to him because he worked in a lot of these Houston studios. And now he's the personal engineer for YG. Dude, like leveled up. He's like doing sessions with like Don Toliver and Scott Storch Now, yeah, it's crazy. He went completely Hollywood. but shout out. He's still a homie, though. And he engineered my stuff. And he did it at a really great price, because that's just who he was. And so having that connection was great. And also working with cover art people. Like, in the beginning, my friends did it for free. So, like, that the cover for Identity and Blacklisted was free. And then I decided to just, like, kind of upgrade and be like, hey, like, I need something more. And creatively, like, I wanted something more. So I hooked up with another friend who actually did it, who actually did this for, you know, for hire. And so Wonderland was created that way. And then I went up to, who did I go up to? Ghosty. So the Drip Dealer. I don't know if you're familiar with them. Drip Dealer does a lot of Zay's covers and stuff. Drip Dealer did, I think he goes by Ghosty now. Ghosty did the cover for Victory. Jay Crumb did the cover for Dirt. And then I got hooked up with Kayla. You know, she does great work. So she did the cover for both Holy Waters. So yeah, I think when you're networking with people, you realize that you want to work with them, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm not in the business of like, you know, can I get a discount? No. Look, because I'm a big believer in this, if you believe that this is what your work is worth, like, it does, if you can afford it or not, that's a different story. If you can't afford it, take your business somewhere else. But I'm not in the business of asking for discounts. I'm really not. Because I'm like, unless I really want it and I can't like swing it, like, I'm like, hey, look, I'll pay the price. You know what I'm saying? Because I respect and value your work as an artist that much, you know? So, But they've been gracious enough to where like, hey, I can do a discount from the goodness of my heart, you know, or like what you do, or, you know, just you the homie, I'm do a discount, you know, whatever the case may be. Then you can take the discount. But I'm not in the business of going up and be like, hey man, can I get this for a discount? I can't do that. So outsourcing really helps, because again, some people are trained for this is what they do full time, or this is what they do. Like, they've been doing this for years and they have more experience. And if you want a good product in that moment, then go and outsource it. But if you're willing to put the time in to learn a new trade, you're willing to put the time in to learn graphic design or mixing and mastering or recording, you know, different things like that, then do that. You know, I would say do it. If you have the time and the willingness to do it, then do it. I learned to record myself. I was recording at my friend Dan's house. His name's Ansbert, actually. His artist name is Ansbert, and he's a great singer-songwriter. Check it out. He's a great artist. But working with these people, they're really, you know, it's really good to network. And so when I was at Dan's house, I would record my stuff and then send it over to Dylan or Chef Dillo. But now I record in my studio. Which is basically a media room, but I learned to record myself. I watched Dan do it and I learned to do it myself. And so, just learn things if you can, if you're willing to put the time in. If not, I would say outsource it.
Yeah, great information, man. We'll be back to the ride after these short messages.
B Plus Recap Countdown.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's B Plus here, back with another recap countdown video. I'm very excited about this one. Now, we've gotten a lot from Hobie over the past year. We've gotten a couple EPs, we've gotten a lot of singles, but here it is. We have our first debut project with Reach Records entitled Christopher. Now, this project is very versatile. It's a mixed bag of a lot of different genres. I heard everything from worship to pop to gospel and a whole lot more, but we're going to get into that in this week's recap countdown video, so don't you go anywhere. Now, if this is your first time checking out a recap countdown video, really quickly, here's what I do. I take a look at my 5 favorite bars, my 4 favorite beats, my 3 favorite tracks, my 2 favorite features, and I round everything out with one final recap. Now, without any further ado, let's get into this recap.
5 bars.
I spent late nights, I was scared to die. I ain't wanna see the grave. I was playing games with my heartbeat instead of slowing down just to pray. You've been reaching for the hand you thought you never grab. But Jesus brings the hope you thought you never have. Maybe it's because you don't wash away my stains. Every single thought that had me feeling so ashamed. It's finished, every single blemish. Imagine Christ gasping on the cross in his final minutes. What a price he paid. All praise to the Lamb who was slain.
Where would I be without you?
Yeah, think my
wanna tell you about getting a job. Wanna tell you about getting with God. I know the one who oversees. I ain't talking about study abroad. They gonna tell you about getting a raise. Wanna tell you about the one who raised. They gonna tell you about their blessings. Wanna tell you about the one who gave everything. Gossip been going so crazy. You think that we all got a scope? Supposed to be family. This ain't for dust or the Grammys. We throwing judgment like Randy. Lord, please forgive me for hating on people beside me. Yeah, that wasn't right in me. Shout out to Rachel. Shout out to Pat. All of the ones that's watching my back. Where the law? Okay. I ain't pour no codeine in my eyes. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to walk by faith and not by Sprite. Yeah. Gave up all my burdens. That's on Christ. Yeah. That means everything's gonna be alright.
Okay, so I'm gonna let you guys in on a little secret of why I like Hovi so much. And the reason why that is, it's hard to put it into words, but I'll go ahead and give it a try. It's just the tone of his voice. It's so soothing and melodic, and it really shines through when he has some of his heart bars. And I call those like when it's not very punchline heavy, but just the lyrics and the way he delivers it, it just really touches your heart. So, but don't get that twisted, because at the same time, he can for real rap. And he really showed that in songs like Eternal and also Where the Love Go. So that's it for my five favorite bars. Now let's hit on.
That was an insert from B Plus Recap's YouTube channel on Hovi's debut project with Reach Records entitled Christopher. B Plus is doing amazing things in our Christian community, so go over there and support him by subscribing to his channel. The links will be in the description for the recap breakdown of Hovi's Christopher project, as well as links to B Plus YouTube channel. Thank you, B Plus. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Ride Family for our last section of the Ride Family, sitting down and chopping it up with Christian hip hop artist Prodigal. How has the pandemic hurt you as an artist?
So there were plans for me, another artist from the UK called Nabji, and a guy named Lazarus, a rapper named Lazarus from Canada. And we were planning to like do a small tour of all three countries of UK, Canada, and America. Mm. So like two or three shows here, two or three shows in Canada, and a couple of shows in the UK. Mm. You know, mini tour, three artists, you know.
Oh yeah.
You know, and so it was really great. Mm. Didn't happen. And that really sucked. Mm. But so as an artist, yeah, like just that the concept of shows and stuff, like I never really adapted to the live show or the virtual show mm-hmm. as quickly as other people. I think that's partly my fault. I, you know, should have invested more energy and time in it, but I think I invested more time and energy into making new material and mm-hmm. new songs and projects like that, because a bulk of the songs in 2020, you know, that again, you know, a lot of these songs came from 2020. And so just dedicating that time to just sit inside and create new material, I think that was a blessing, even though, you know, the idea of touring or of doing shows was completely thrown out the window. Yeah,
because I was going to ask next, how has the pandemic helped you?
I mean, being able to just sit down and write music, I think that was really helpful for me as an artist. I think that's one way that it really helped. And I honestly was able to do a live show, but that was in February, where I was able to open for Corin Hawthorne because of our boy B Herb in the listening session playlist. He's one of the pastors of his church, and so they were doing a conference, and you know, I was able to perform and open right before Corin Hawthorne. And so you know, that was a blessing. But I mean, that was only really the only virtual show that I did. But yeah, again, being able to write music, I think that's the biggest blessing.
Amen. Before we get ready to close, right, you know, these next part of the conversation kind of was birthed from something today, right? But as a Christ follower, how do you deal with adversity in the genre?
In the genre?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think personally, like I've dealt with adversity in the genre, mainly because maybe I'm not as, you know, developed in the genre. I feel like the only adversity was really just seeing what other people are going through and seeing how to deal with kind of like how toxic CHH can get. You know, and just seeing that and being like, okay, how do I prepare for, you know, if something like that happens to me? Like, how do I deal with it? How do I prep for it? How do I deal with situations when, you know, like your name probably gets bigger, or, you know, people know more about you, and people, funnily enough, seems to have like a bone to pick with you, you know? And yeah, so I think I see all that's going on around me, and for me, mentally and spiritually, I'm preparing myself if those situations arise in my life. And so yeah, so right now, no adversities in the genre directed at me, but I'm prepping. I'm prepping, but I mean, but if it happens, if it comes to that situation, I'm like, you know, I know that, again, eyes on the mission, eyes on goal. My goal is heaven. My mission is to bring souls to Christ, whatever medium that be, whether you know, whether that be through the music, through the music videos, whether that be through, I want to start getting more involved in TikTok. So, you know, whether that be through social media or TikTok, you know, whatever the case may be, whether that's through volunteering, whether that be to spreading the brand of Prodigal, right? Like, you know, through merch or whatever. I'm now working with a clothing brand called Effecta, where we talk about the stigma of mental health and really like breaking down that those walls that are me, particularly my community of Indians. Like, we have a wall built around that the concept of mental health, and breaking it down and talking about it. And so all these things, right? Like, that's the goal. That, like, knowing that there's different adversities through all these things, but realizing that you're spreading Christ to each and every single person through your mission. I feel like God uses those avenues, those paths to bring him closer, whether that be through my music or through the merch or whatever the case may be. I'm going to keep my eyes on the mission. I'm going to keep my eyes on the goal. You know, because all these little things will come at you, always try to pick at you. So I'm prepping myself for that. But I also know that eyes straight ahead and eyes straight up. So,
amen. Yeah, I know we've been in this space 7 years now, right? And it's been a few times as a platform where I almost shut it down. You feel me? Mm-hmm. And so I've seen a lot since I've been out here in this space. Mm-hmm. And you shared a great testimony about two brothers wanting to dance to Grace, right? Earlier, right?
Right, and, one brother.
My bad.
And, you could.
Yeah, great testimony, right? And I know, man, we've been trolled several times, right, out there as a platform. One where, because, and I'm not trying to be harsh when I say this, but I listen to all the submissions, right? And I have no problem. I'm going to say this. I have no problem with the homosexual community, right? Mm. You feel me? Mm-hmm. But when you come to our platform, if there's something I don't agree with, like, you're living in that sin and justifying why you are this, and you're not trying to lead anybody to Jesus who breaks chains, then I'm going to send it to the team, right? You feel me? And we're going to make a decision. I pretty much made my mind up, but I still got a circle around me, right? Mm-hmm. And when we come to the decision of not uploading the music, because it doesn't, and I'm just not talking homosexual, we don't put any cursing up. You know, man, I got 12-year-old twins. They on the bookkeeper more than I am. We just don't condone that on the site, right? Not judging.
No, but you have values, and you got to stick by that, right? Like, at the end of the day, like, this is your mission. Mm-hmm. And so if something goes against your mission and it somehow taints it, like, it's your duty, and I hate using this word, but gatekeep, because it's your duty to realize that your mission is really important. It stands above. And if something is submitted to you that does not reflect your mission and your values and what you want to see in your life and what you want to see in your kids' lives or whatever the case is, then you have every right to be like, hey, yo, no, I'm not going to accept it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And, you know, that leads me to say, you know, so we've been trolled on social media. Everybody don't agree with us and everything like that. In the flesh, you know, I hit my brother up. Hey, man, you see that tweet? You see that Facebook tag or IG tag? We kind of, by the grace of God, we got a good following from the family out there. You know, my brother always tell me, Darryl, don't even answer that. Don't even get involved. Why, you know, on our platform too, we don't do the clickbait type stuff. Or somebody trolling you or anything like that. How do you deal with that when you're a when you're ultimately not even a Christian hip hop artist first? You're ultimately a child of God trying to make it to the finish line to get to heaven. So how do you deal with the trolls and stuff like that?
So thankfully, like, I haven't had to deal with too many trolls. Okay. Now I've had like comments, right? Set to my face. Now that's more impactful, right? More than a screen. And I've seen, so I've, like, people have shown me screenshots of like some conversations that people have had in their group chats about my music and all those different things, like especially for the music video that I dropped out of pocket, where like we had dancers and things like that, and people were just like poking fun at it or whatever the case may be. Very small minority. I mean, I'm not even bothered by them, but it's like, you know, in the moment you get these comments or you see these comments and you get bothered. You're just like, man, why am I even doing this? Right? Like, why, what is the point of all this, man? Like, I'm not, but then you realize that, look, haters gonna hate. You know what I'm saying? Like, people always gonna have a bone to pick with you. People always gonna be like, ah, yeah, I can do that better, but they're not gonna put in the work to do it, right? So I just keep it a bug and keep it going, man. I mean, keep it pushing. Like, that's the only thing. Like, I've had people, like, even some of my friends, like, even those jokingly that they'd be like, oh yeah, your music not that good, or your music trash or whatever. You know, it used to bother me, right? Because I'm like, they are joking, and they might be one of the first people to listen to my music when I drop it.
Oh yeah.
But it's also at a certain point, my ego starts to be like, oh, do they really not like it? Oh, okay, like, they're not true friends or whatever the case may be. But I realized that I got to move past that. But again, because again, this is like these little affirmations that I get is way more powerful than all the negativity that I've ever faced, right? And I've realized that, man, like, if I just keep going, just keep praying, knowing that, like, there's this calling that Christ, you know, called me to, that there is something out there for me, that if I keep pushing, if I keep walking on this path with him hand in hand, I know that, because the road ain't easy, man. Like, at the end of the day, like, if I get killed for what I do, I know I did the right thing.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? If the apostles had that same fate, except John, if the apostles had that same fate, what's keeping me, like, what's different about me?
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they had a mission and they did it to the fullest extent.
Mm-hmm.
They had haters. They had people throwing stones at them. They had people chasing them out of towns.
That's right.
Jesus was chased out of his own hometown.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference? You know what I'm saying? Like, if I know that there's a calling, if I know that I'm a follower of Christ, if I know that I'm a child of God, I am a disciple, like, I am going to get the same treatment. Now, it might not be physical. It might be through words. You know that phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me?
Yeah.
Bam, words hurt. You know what I'm saying? And we're never going to deny that words hurt. I feel like that phrase should be buried. Because words hurt, right?
Yeah,
at the end of the day, like, I got to take this as a mission. And I got to say that there is martyrdom, a sense of martyrdom in this. There is a sense of being punished for this. But know that my, like, when Christ, like, when I see him on the last day, when I see him and he says, like, you know, like, I don't want to be in the position where I'm like, Lord, I did all these things, but God is like, I don't know you. No, it's like, I did all these things and you did know me at the same, like, I had a relationship with you. That's my goal. Amen. I brought souls to you and I knew you.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. I mean, if we say that our trajectory is heaven, if we say that our end goal is heaven, then all these trolls, all these people who spit in our face or just like troll around or joke around about things, it all fades away. Mm-hmm. It all fades away. So that's just the way I look at it, man.
Absolutely, because that's my biggest thing with everything you just said was, depart from me, I never knew you. Yeah. I'm not trying to hear that. So trolling, disagreements, whatever it may be, I'm not trying to hear that at the end of the day. So I'm not going to allow them, like you said a few times through the interview, that we got to look up that connection and make it to heaven, right? I love how you answered that, man. Last couple of things before we get up out of here, man. Platform, and not just our platform, but how can we help the indie artists as a whole?
Man, I mean, I feel like, okay, well, I'm going to take this platform because, like, just even that willingness to speak to me, right? Or that willingness to put my music up, right? The willingness to listen, to be a part, for you to be a part of TLS and put your ear to the ground and listen to what's coming up, right? Like, I feel like all platforms should, and you and Eric from 520 Collective, right? Oh, yeah. Like, y'all are both, like, in it, in there, right? In the mix, in the dirt of it all. And y'all are really pushing the culture forward for the indie artists. Right? You got guys like Rapzilla and Track Stars that really push the guys who are really, really coming up. I feel like y'all speak for the underground. You know, we are underground in a sense. You know, some of the guys from TLS are recognized by Rapzilla, but like, you really speak for the underground, I feel. And I think that's a special place in that. And, you know, just your willingness to listen and to give a platform, I think it's really important. It pays off, you know? And I think I think what y'all do, what you and Eric, I just want to, like, cobble the y'all up to y'all and so it's instrumental for me as an artist and, like, really pushing me and promoting me, you know, that y'all are really a blessing in this community.
Amen. No doubt, man. Shout out to Eric Boston and Nate Shelton over there at 520 Collective. But man, we good friends. Actually, big shout out to Eric because at one time, you know, he called me, you know, so one time I really was about to shut the site down. Eric was like, hey man, look, we need you in the space. Him, Get Him Jay, TC, The Collector, me and Mitt forming a relationship, me and you, Q Flow, you know, y'all really give us a drive, you know, and a passion, and we appreciate y'all as artists, man. And more than that, I appreciate you as a man living the faith out, right, and progressing the body of Christ, you know, at the end of the day with y'all words. They're very impactful, man. Man, what's next, fam? I mean, what should we be looking for from you?
Right now, man, like, I mean, I'm working on a few songs with Scribe, with Q Flow, with B Herb, with Patrick McMillan, who's an up and coming producer. So a bunch of things coming out. Just hasn't been announced yet. It just the release date hasn't been announced. Nothing yet. But you know, pretty soon you're gonna start hearing rumblings of that. So it's gonna be a great year. Next couple of years too. It's gonna be great. So just keep your ears peeled, man. And I'll be, I got the Effect partnership as well. So really pushing them and maybe new merch for upcoming releases, you know, making a collaboration merch with them, or even we're planning out different performances that we can do as like fundraisers and different things like that. So there's a lot in the pipeline. It just has to be announced, and we're just like figuring out the right time to announce things. But yeah, songs are definitely coming out. That new song with Zay that we're working on as well. Forgot to mention that. And so I'm excited, man. It's gonna be a great year.
Amen.
Great couple of years too. Yeah.
Right. Amen, man. Last thing, fam. Let the people know where they can follow you at and copy your music.
Yes. You can find me on all streaming platforms. The name is Prodigal, Prodigyl, not AL, but YL. It's just a mix of prodigy and prodigal. So Prodigal on all streaming platforms. You can find me on Instagram at It's Prodigal. On Twitter and Facebook, It's Prodigal Music. But yeah, that's all the platforms you can find me on. I hope that I can, you know, with any future releases also, I'm thinking kind of going the Mitch Darella and Cody Free route where, you know, you sell it on Bandcamp. But that'll definitely be announced as well once I get everything finalized in that area. But yeah, those are all my platforms.
All right, amen, man. Family, look, the screen game has taken over, but man, go check out Holy Water Volume 1 and Volume 2 and support my man Prodigal, man. Before I close out, man, everybody, y'all know where y'all can find us at. All you got to do is go with your favorite web browser, hashtag TBK247. I know we're going to pop up everywhere. I want to give a special shout out to our sponsors, Ted over there at Enoch Flow Records. Man, they putting something special together over there with YJO, another up-and-coming producer and artist in our space. So I'd like to thank them for the partnership and sponsorship we got through them. And man, last but not least, Prodigal, man, may the Lord continue to bless you, your family, your ministry. May the Holy Spirit continue to guide your steps. And man, I just appreciate you coming to the show, fam.
Man, thank you so much, dude. Like, thank you for having me, and same to you, brother. Like, you know, again, this platform is blessed, and I'm praying for more blessings on you and your family and the team as well, man. Just a great blessing to have you in this space, in this community, and really pushing the culture forward. So,
all right.
Thank you for joining us. Remember, you can help us by liking, sharing, commenting, and subscribing. For all of the YouTube listeners, make sure you hit the alert notifications. Also, if you would like to donate a monetary blessing, go to the description located inside our Anchor link or our PayPal link. The donations will help our growth regarding better equipment so that we can spread the word of God even further. Thank you again, and until next time, God bless. God bless. God bless. God bless. God bless. God bless.